The topic here is Christ expressed on earth through the heavenly Jerusalem. And, you know, this recently we had a, some of us, we were in California, Fountain Valley, for the conference there. And I was particularly touched. The Lord really spoke to me something here about the New Jerusalem. You know, the New Jerusalem is mentioned at the end of the Bible. This is during the time of the new heaven and new earth. This is when everything in God's plan is completed. And you can see what a condition, what it's like at this time, when the whole plan of God is completed. And this New Jerusalem, it's called, it's referred to as the wife of the Lamb. In verse 9, Revelation 21, you can see here in verse 2 and 9, but we'll just read verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. It says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" And in verse 10, it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me," interestingly, it doesn't say he showed me a woman or a person of some sort. Remember, this is the wife, the Lamb's wife. But what does he see in the spirit? He sees the holy city, the holy Jerusalem. He sees a city descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we're not going to go through the whole thing here, but it really struck me again that this Lamb's wife, we know, is today it's represented by the church. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us again who is the wife of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." And so here we can see that the wife or the bride of Christ is the church. And the church is us, the believers, the true believers that are regenerated, that are born again, that have the life of Christ in us. We make up the church. And one aspect of the church, the bride of Christ, the wife, is that she had the glory of God, like we read in chapter 21 of Revelation. She had the glory of God. And she had a light like jasper stone. It was shining out. And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I think I knew this, but I think the Lord just, for me, it struck me even more that the church here in this time, in this age, is here to manifest Christ, is to manifest the glory of God on this earth. You know, when you mention church to people, they have a lot of ideas of what it is, right? Like it's a, first, many people think it's a building. I go to that church. They think it's a social club or, a, you know, it's here to do some good deeds or to help the poor and the sick and, you know, preach the gospel, which is important. But how many of us realize that the one of the main reasons why the church exists on this earth is to manifest the glory of God? If you think about it, what else on this earth is made to do that? What else on this earth is able and made to manifest God, for people to see God and to know Him and to see His light and His holiness and His characteristics and His kingdom? There is nothing else designed to do that, right? And so that's why the church, you know, like we've talked about here before, is it's been reduced to something so insignificant among Christians today, right? It's just a, you know, where I meet some friends or I'm going to go and have some fun. I'll play some sports. I'll do some, it's like a community. But the church is not a community, right? It's here to represent the kingdom and the authority and the power of God, the glory of God. It's the calling of the church is so incredibly great and high, you know, and it's very sad that it's been reduced to something so minor that, you know, I can go to this church one day and go to that one another day. I don't like this one. I go find another one. Okay, I go find one that's good. That's good for my kids. Oh, that one doesn't have good kids programs. I'll go find another one. It's just been really degraded. And the understanding of what it is has really been, I don't know how you describe it. It's just gone down really bad. Evaporated, corrupted in every way. So that's why the more you think about it and read this, is just you realize that the church is here to express Christ on this earth. Right? That is what it's for. But if you think about it also, how much is the church actually expressing Christ? Does the world see the glory of God through us at all? What do they see? They see, maybe they see my level of wealth, or they see my smarts, or my worldly achievements, or, you know, all sorts of things, whether I'm a good or bad person. And it's like they don't really see much of Christ, actually, right? And it's really a sad thing. So in the, if you look at the outline, we put in some points here. It is not an earthly organization. Amen. That is one of the, I think it's the things that really spoke to me too, when I realized that the church is not an earthly organization.
Yeah.
But to a lot of people, it is. But if you think about it, it is completely from God. Everything that makes up the church, it should be from God. It's heavenly. It's not earthly, right? And so, but the problem is that we have, in church, people have brought in a lot of human ideas, human wisdom and ways, and they come up with ways to try to draw people to Christ, right? But they use things of the world to try to do that. They water down the word, they twist the word, like we were just talking at dinner time, right? Sometimes people will, they will hide certain truths because it might scare people away, right? Or they'll introduce other things to try to draw people, right? But and if you think about Jesus Christ himself, he never watered down the word or the truth. Whatever he spoke, that was the truth. And whether you like it or not, whether people stayed with him or not, that was the truth. And he never compromised on that. And he himself, when people met him or saw him or spent time with him, they really had a taste of life and light. They could touch God from being around him. He was such a perfect manifestation of God. Right? Indeed, he was. 1 Timothy chapter 3, right? It says he was God manifested in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh. Right? He was the perfect image of God. Colossians 1 says he's the image of the invisible God. And, you know, it's not just a place where I go on Sunday, in point B. In Matthew chapter 16, we were reading this recently. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Yeah. It's, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Right after it was revealed to Peter that this man standing in front of him was the promised Messiah, as soon as it was revealed by God the Father and not flesh and blood, like it says here in verse 17, that this man is the King, the Messiah, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, immediately Jesus told him and said, that you are Peter, which is a stone. He's not the rock, he's the stone. And on this rock, that's on Christ himself, I will build my church. And here he tells you what the church is here for. It says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He doesn't say, I'm going to build my church and you're all going to have fun. And you're going to have a great time and get to meet people and do lots of nice things. He doesn't say that. That's what people think it is now, right? I'm going to go meet people and have fun and have a great time and do all these wonderful activities and all that. But he doesn't say that. I'm going to start a cool club for everybody to gather together. He says here, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This tells you that the gates of Hades or Satan's kingdom is going to try to fight it, right? So it tells you that the church is here to stand and to resist and to oppose and fight against the kingdom of Satan. So that is something that it's so significant, extremely significant, because that is what the church is here for. It's to represent the kingdom of God, express the glory of God. You know, it's the light in the darkness that comes out from Christ, and it is designed to fight against the kingdom of Satan. Amen. Right, and that's why the first thing he mentions, other than the rock and the stone and the building, is that the gates of Hades shall not prevail. That means there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a war happening. And it's supposed to be the church that is here to stand against that. And then he mentions in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So that also talks about the authority that is given to the church to bind and to loose, to use the authority of God on this earth against Satan and all his works. It's incredibly powerful, very powerful, and a huge responsibility that we have. We've been given the authority of God on this earth to exercise the authority on this earth. That's what the church is here for. So, and as I'm talking about this, and you think about what is common understanding now, it's like completely foreign. If you go tell this to people now, and you tell them that the church is here to represent the kingdom of God, to stand against Satan's domain, and to exercise the authority and power of God against Satan in this world. They'll look at you like you have three eyes. They won't know what you're talking about. Really. But for us, we have to be aware of this, right? To express Christ isn't just to express his niceness, his love, and all that, but also his power.
Amen.
You know, his authority. So it's really, so we really need a change, a renewal of our mind, to change how we think, to understand the responsibility and the position that has been given to God by the church, to the church. Yeah, and it's composed of all the sons of God, filled with the life of Christ, lived out in reality, in true oneness. So it's not a, you know, it's not something that you sign up to join, but it's something that you're born into,
yeah.
Right? It's, you are born into the church, the household of God. It's not that you don't fill out a form and then you become a member, right? A lot of groups, they do that. You know, I remember I went to one church. I used to be part of this church that they're not too far away from here. One day they announced to the congregation, all right, we have membership forms here. You can fill one out and become a member. And I thought, hold on a second. I thought, as a Christian, I am a member. Why do I have to sign up to be a member now? And I thought that was really strange. And because I did not sign up for a member, I felt, I guess I'm not really a member then. So I felt like excluded. Well, these people are members and I'm not, right? But it's, that's how it is, right? But we become part of the church through life. It's a matter of life. And the way that the church is built up is through transformation, the growth and increase of the life of Christ in each one of us, right? It's not by having more operations and more activities and more things you do, this and that, but it's through each one of us growing and being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, right? And that's why it's, and as that happens, more and more the glory of God comes out and people can see. And, you know, another thing, this also came from a recent interaction we had with some new ones in in point F. It says here, it's not for us to come and listen. We are all priests. We are all servants and workers. You know, another thing is that people think that I come to church to listen. I'm just here to be an observer. It's just like any other show, right? I go to a music concert to listen to a performance. I go to a baseball game to watch a baseball game, right? To watch. I go to church to watch something else. But this is better because it's Christian, right? It's another type of entertainment or media that I consume, right? We're always consuming media. But nowadays, after the pandemic, you don't need to come physically. You can just consume the media online on YouTube at your own time, right? In your pajamas, you can do that. But this idea is also corrupted. It is totally wrong. Because if we read in the Word of God, we can see that we are all priests. In 1 Peter chapter 2, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, verse 9, you're right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So every one of us is a priest. We're all here to serve the living God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it also talks about how we are all members of the body of Christ. And each member has a function to do. You'll never see anywhere that people are just coming to listen and that's it. But In the body of Christ, in the church, everyone has a function, has a part to play. Everyone is responsible for their own growth and walk as a Christian. I cannot depend on another man. I can't depend on the pastor to read the Bible for me, to digest it and give me a summary. I have to open this book and read it. And through the Holy Spirit, He reveals what He wants to speak. I learn more and more to hear Him speaking to me. As I'm going about my day, His speaking has an effect to change how I live, right? And that's how it should be. Not just me sitting and listening to a pastor who read everything, put it up on a PowerPoint, and I don't even have to bring my Bible. I just read the PowerPoint, right? But, and if I have a problem, I go to any, you know, we met people like this recently, right? When they have issues and problems in their life, they go to the pastor for counseling, right? You go to somebody for help, and that person will counsel you, give you advice, and whatever. The relationship with God is very minimal, because I don't trust that I can understand the Bible. So I have to go to somebody else to help me understand the Bible, right? And that is not a normal thing. It's very normal now, but actually, spiritually, it is abnormal.
Right.
Each one of us is capable of knowing the Lord in a very deep and intimate way, to know and understand the Bible. And one thing that I can testify, I've seen this many times, you think that you cannot understand, but if the Lord really reveals the Word of God and the truth by the Holy Spirit, what you see will be the same as what other people see if they have also been taught by the Holy Spirit. You will never see multiple people having different opinions about the Word of God if they have all been taught by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that Word that has been revealed to them will cause a change in their lives. And it's very powerful, right? So the problem is when we depend on man, we have eliminated all that the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. We've just left him out. Right, the Holy Spirit is the one that was put here by the Lord in John chapter 14, right? To be the teacher, to lead us into. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord. You know you. I'm glad you're reading your Bible. John 14, verse 17, right? 16 and 17. Good. That's a very good practice to remember the word. John 14, verse 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. And then also verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You see, so we have this Holy Spirit that was sent to us as a helper, and we don't make use of him. We'd rather go to our pastor and seek help and counseling and interpretation, everything. I mean, it's okay to, the Lord did assign, call people to brothers or sisters to teach, right? In the beginning, when we're still young, we in the Lord, we do need teaching and we do need help. And the Lord has anointed some brothers with the gift to teach, right? To have, to understand the word and give more revelation. But it is still up to us to come to the Lord, to know the speaking of the Spirit and learn to be taught by Him. Now, if we just depend on people, to show us, then we have just, we are not using this teacher that the Lord has given to us. And it's only this teacher, the Spirit, that can lead us into the truth.
Absolutely.
This is the only way that we can know the truth. Because he said, I'm giving you the Spirit of truth. And there's nothing else that he mentioned that will give you truth. It's just this. This is the only thing. And if you don't use it, you'll never know the truth. It's as simple as that. And he even said that he will guide you into the truth. So, and he will teach you. So if we don't make use of it and we depend on people, no wonder there's so much confusion and people having different opinions and ideas and interpretations and all that. And Christians, so many Christians going their own way, doing their own thing. Because we have replaced the Spirit with men. Okay? So yeah, that's a very dangerous condition. We talked about here also the saints being all of us. We are saints, by the way. Right? Saints means people that are called out. Right? Your saint is derived from the word sanctify,
right,
to be called out. So we are called out people. I think when Coste was new, you thought saint was just Saint Peter, Saint Paul, and those. Saint Francis Xavier, sure, I don't know who that is, but anyways, but now we know that we are all saints, right? Because we have all been called out and chosen by God. We've been set aside for God. Okay, so all the saints, we are being transformed into Christ's image from glory to glory. Let's read that verse again. 2 Corinthians, close. You're very close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I really like this.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Did you realize that you are a work in progress, and you are on the way to being transformed into the image of Christ? It says here, we are being transformed into the same image, which is the image of Christ, to be made more and more like him. Okay, and from glory to glory. So we start off with a little bit of the glory of God, and then we go from stage to stage with more and more maturity, more of the glory of God, the holiness, the righteousness of God, the characteristics of God. You know, it starts to be more and more visible in our life. And people can see, they should see the difference in us, how we become different, more and more like Christ, less and less like ourselves. Right? In ourselves, there's no glory. We are, in fact, the opposite of glory. We're shameful. And we are very shameful people. But then, as we grow and mature, more of the glory of God is exhibited in us. And it says here again, by the Spirit of the Lord. Not through, you know, I met Christians that think the way to grow as a Christian is to just learn more, understand the Bible more. So they take courses, they read a lot of books, they go to YouTube, they try to, they're treating it like it's some university course. Like, I've got to understand this textbook. But all that does is make you biblically maybe smarter, maybe not. Right? Actually, you may not be smarter. You think you're smarter, but you're not. But all it does is make you more and more dead. Because the way to grow here is by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not by being smarter in the Bible. It's not biblical interpretation. Oh, I know the Greek, I know the Hebrew, I know, you know. I mean, sometimes it can understand it better. But if you can't speak Greek or Hebrew, Does that mean you have no chance? You know, Amir, can you speak Hebrew?
No.
No, no hope for you then. Oh, you'll never, you can never, you know. Yeah, but you see what I mean? Like, we may not understand so much of the very deep things, but whatever the Lord has revealed to you, that's what He wants you to work on. And then as you grow, He will show you more and more. It's not, we're not trying to decipher every single sentence and try to interpret it, right? But here it says our transformation is by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the knowing the Spirit, living by the Spirit, following Him in our daily life. So, yeah, and that is what builds up the church. And, you know, another point is, even among us, now speaking corporately together, when people meet us, can they find, and I wrote this down because we see this a lot, there are a lot of hungry Christians out there. There are a lot of people that are actually hungry. They spiritually, they're looking for something. And I've met people who they go to from so-called church to another so-called church, like fellowship to fellowship, and they can't find any food. They still feel very dry and hungry inside. And do they find that with us? Do they find lots of good teachings? Or do they really feel like they're satisfied spiritually? Do they find life? Do they find the truth? Or do they just see a lot of friendly faces? I mean, it's good to have friendly faces and being nice people, but we have to be more than that. They have to find life. There has to be something really to supply them with. Or when they meet us, are they like, there's nothing here? And that's why I was really encouraged by this verse here in 1 Corinthians 14. When I first read this, and every time I read this, I pray, Lord, I want this to be us. In verse 24, First Corinthians 14, verse starting from 24. Yeah. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. It's my desire, and I hope it's everybody's desire, that we want people, when they come in, that they say, God is truly among you. Do they just say, lots of nice people, or hopefully they don't say lots of not nice people, right? But more importantly is, God is truly among you. And when they come in, they meet us, they are convinced and convicted. Mm-hmm. Who does the convincing and the convicting? Is it a good eloquent speaker? Is it me, because, or you who know the Bible so well, we can answer every argument and every question, and we can just, you know, corner them with our arguments that they don't know, they have to surrender and say, yes, you're right. Is that what we're trying to do? No. It's really the Lord among us, the Spirit working in us, the glory of God being manifested, that they are convinced and convicted, and that they say, God is truly among you. Yeah, that's really what the church should be doing. And that's what it means to have that's one of the meanings of having the glory of God. Right? What do people see? You know, what do people see when they meet us? Is Christ really expressed in the New Jerusalem, in the heavenly Jerusalem? Right? And evident progress. And we don't have a lot of time, but I will just share one other thing is true oneness visible? I put true oneness because there are There are many things that people call oneness, but these verses, you know, we often talk about, I really, really like them because it just shows you how important it is. In John chapter 17, John chapter 17, and this is before the Lord went to the cross, before he was arrested. He was in the garden praying. And, you know, of all the things that he could have prayed for, this is something that he prayed for. You know, to the one of the last things that he prayed for, it must be important. So we better pay attention to it. And it says here in verse 20, okay, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Okay, so that, who's that? That's all of us, okay? Pray what? That they'll have a nice, successful career, have a happy life, everything will go smoothly, all good, no problems? No, what did he pray for? He says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. And continue two more verses. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Amen. You know, again, like I'm saying, something that he prayed about before being arrested, it's very important. This is his, you could say it's his last prayer. And he, of all the things he could have prayed for, he prayed that his people would be perfect in one. Just as he is one with the Father, that they may be also one. Amen. And it says here, pay attention to verse 23. It says, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Why? That the world may know that you have sent me. So this tells us that when he says that the world may know, it means that the purpose of this oneness is to show the world, is so that the world can see something that you cannot find anywhere else in the world. Really, you cannot find oneness, true, perfect oneness anywhere in the world. No matter how people try to be one with each other, it doesn't work. It's impossible. But this is it's a miracle. It's actually miraculous. It's something from heaven, from God, that you cannot produce anywhere else. It's out of this world to have people that are really one with each other through Christ. Amen. Right? This is such a strong testimony. It says that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So, and this is one of the most foundational things about the church, is that the people are one. And the oneness doesn't come because we try to manufacture it, but it's because all of us are walking in Christ. We are living and walking in Christ. And this causes our differences to be eliminated, because the differences that we have, they are innate in us, in our nature, through the flesh. It's really the differences in our flesh, in our natural man, that cause these differences. But when you have a group of people that are really living Christ, living through Christ, those differences just, they disappear. You don't have to try to make it disappear. It just disappears because you are naturally living by a different life. You are living by the life of Christ, no longer by your old nature anymore. So, and this is such a strong testimony to the world, because they may not understand what we're talking about. If you tell them, you know, Jesus is coming back, you know, you need to be saved. So many of the truths of the Bible, some people may understand if they're open, but there's a lot of people that don't understand what we're talking about. But they have to, if they pay attention, they will, even if they don't understand, they will see this oneness. There's a lot of, sometimes we try to use our words, but the words don't work. But when they see this, which you cannot see anywhere else in the world, they'll stop and say, hold on, there's something different here. There's something kind of odd, right? And so it's really, I think that it is really unusual. It's really weird. I mean, look at us here. We have a very, and I like to tell this to people, because Toronto is a very, it's a very special city. There, we have people coming from almost every country in the world in Toronto. And, you know, and many times, because there are so many people from these different backgrounds and cultures, what do you see? You see them all kind of grouping up with their own kind, right? People group up with their own kind, and that's how it is, right? It's human nature. You want to be with people that you can speak the same language to, you can eat the same food, you can talk about the same things, and that's what they do. And so, but in the church, it's very different, because we don't need that. We just need Christ, and we talk about Christ, and we share the same life, and it just naturally brings us together, right? So you don't even, and this is one of the amazing things, is that in the church, we can be fellowshipping about Christ with people that are so different from us, and you don't even notice it. You don't notice it, because you have the same life, and it's not just the, you know, hi, bye, nice to meet you, like that kind of thing. You get to really be close with them, right? And the fellowship is really close, and you can really share so much with each other, right? And be, like it says in Ephesians 4, to be joined and knit together, right? There is no other place where this can happen, right? It's not possible, because sooner or later, people will rub each other the wrong way, right? I don't like how you look, you don't like how I look, and, you know, eventually we'll start to annoy each other, right? No offense, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you see, this is what happens. But in Christ, it just vanishes, it fades away, right? And it's something really, really unique. Sometimes we're among the saints so much, the brothers and sisters, we take it for granted, actually. But for people to see what the Lord is doing among us, it's really a very strong testimony that you will not find anywhere else. And it's really something from the Lord. So we really have to praise the Lord for that. All right, so, you know, so during this conference, I really hope that the Lord can show us how important it is for the church to manifest and express Christ. Because it's no good if it's just hidden. It's just, you know, oh, I believe in Jesus, and I go to church and I read my Bible. But then any other time, nobody sees it. They don't hear it. They don't see it. They come among us. They see just a bunch of people in the world. There's nothing. There's no glory being manifested. They don't taste anything. Then what good is it? But if we understand why the church exists here, what we are put on this earth to do, you know, not just me individually preaching the gospel, but us together as a corporate body expressing Christ, helping each other to grow and to nurture one another, to pursue this goal, then it becomes much more powerful. And you will see the Lord will reward you all of us very richly, because that is what he called us to do, right? To represent his kingdom, to be his people. So, and this is something we really have to pray for, because it is very rare, extremely rare. So, yeah, praise the Lord. And we have to pray that the Lord reveals this more and more to us.
Amen. Amen.
There's still time for saints to fellowship.
Oh, to pray.
To pray.
Yeah. Father, thank you so much. We thank you that you can continue to reveal to us what the church is. We pray that these are not just words, but this will cut through our hearts.
Amen.
Grant us a genuine revelation of who you are and what the church is.
Amen.
Pray that these words will not just end here, but yeah, we will take these words back to you.
Amen.
And then you will reveal them to us.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit searches all the deep things of God.
Amen.
We thank you for your speaking tonight, that you have special design for your church.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, your church is really not just a group of people here and there. And your church really represents your power, your authority.
Amen.
And Christ, the responsibility for you.
Yes.
Lord, renew this vision among
Amen.
All your people, Lord.
Amen.
Draw many more to this vision, Lord.
Amen.
Inspire more for this vision.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you have broken down all the middle walls of separation.
Amen.
And you have made us one in you, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, Lord, we pray that your kingdom is established on this earth.
Amen.
I will go to the ends of the earth, Lord, and you will see that we can all be one in you, Lord.
Amen.
As you are one with the Father.
Yes.
Yeah, we pray that your desire is met,
Amen.
And we are one with you in this, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to be one with you for
yes.
building up your church.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you so much for revealing to us that secret. Lord, we want to see the heavenly kingdom.
Yes.
We want to give ourselves fully for your kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you for your living word.
Amen.
Your word, the spirit, and the life.
Amen.
Lord, create the life will grow in our lives.
Amen.
When people see us, they will see God has been us.
Amen.
Amen. So we pray that you really do reveal to us just how precious this church is.
Amen.
Amen. So we ask that day by day, Lord, really give us a desire to love your church, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we want to be one in you. Amen. We want to live a life that on earth just like in heaven.
Amen.
And we want to just be transformed in your image.
Amen.
No matter where we're from, no matter what our background is,
yes.
no matter what color of our skin,
mm.
no matter what the, you know, whatever. So we have the special identity that we are your children.
Amen.
And we are the one you made it, you created, and we are the one you chose.
Mm.
Yes,
Amen.
We are the Holy Priest.
Amen.
And we are the one in you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When Peter saw the revelation of Jesus Christ,
yes.
he said, I say also unto you.
Mm.
And you revealed the church to him.
Thank
Amen. You, Lord, that it please you to reveal your Son in us.
Amen.
When we saw you, we begin to see the church.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we have seen the church, which is your body.
Yes.
And Lord, that we are members of the body.
Amen.
Amen.
We are members one of another.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we each have a function in the church.
Amen.
Lord, and not all have the same function. We can function in your church.
Amen.
Lord, this is very important to us.
Amen.
We want to give our whole life to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, the church is not an organization.
Yes. It's
not a social gathering of people.
Amen.
Doing worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you that you reveal the church as a holy city.
Amen.
Lord, we want to live in this holy city.
Yes.
Live our whole life to this.
Amen.
One another. To be one and to love one another.
Amen.
You have loved us. Thank you, Lord, that the glory you had with the Father you've given to us.
Amen.
We can behold your glory with an unveiled face.
Amen.
And be transformed into the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray that people would see Christ living in us.
Amen.
Me to live as Christ.
Yes.
Oh, and people would see Christ.
Amen.
They wouldn't see something outward.
Yes.
They would see Christ revealed.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just give ourselves
yes.
to you.
Amen.
Open the eyes of our understanding.
Yes.
We would know what is the hope of your call.
Amen.
We would see the church more clearly
yes.
and give ourselves more fully.
Amen.
We give ourselves more fully for this holy city, Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yeah, that you may be fully expressed and manifested in every aspect of the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh Lord, increase the expression of Christ in the church here in Toronto.
Amen.
And you may be glorified.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that your word will not be ordinary to us.
Amen.
And we will tremble at your word.
Amen.
And that our hearts will not be had in wrong.
Yes.
Amen.
And we will respond to your word.
Amen.
And the word will produce fruits in our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, that your word will not be that will be taken and will be stolen, Lord.
Amen.
And then our hearts will all be fertile.
Amen.
Let us tremble at your word. Let us respond to your word.
Amen.
Work on our hearts,
yes.
Lord. That we would respond to your word.
Amen.
Lord, your word produce and be able to divide that whole the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
That it will work, produce that work that you desire in our heart.
Amen.
Amen.
When I looked at this outline, so I looked at this outline C, point number C says, the church is not made with man's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the verse, Zach Steph, is this not working?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the point C is the church is not made with man's hand. Today we look at so many so-called churches, all made with man's hand. Even people think that building is a church. Some people are more advanced and they say, well, it's the people. But then actually it's an organization made by hands. This very qualified pastor, he's been trained at a Bible school, theological school, he knows how to do things so he can orchestrate the whole thing as an organization. But this church that is not made with man's hands.
Amen.
And this verse in Acts 7:48, it says, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all things? And then if you go to Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, it talks about, it's a person, this person will I look to, he who is contrite, a broken spirit. And it's the person that God has touched. Now, why I'm speaking this, I'm thinking of Saul of Tarsus, this man in the book of Acts. He knew the Bible, he knew the law, he was zealous, and he saw these people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, he was taught that this Messiah, Jesus, was a false person. They crucified him, they buried him, and then they said, oh, his disciples stole him and fabricated this lie. And so he's persecuting the church, going from house to house. You know, Jesus said, your house is left to you desolate. Remember the last scene, Jesus goes into the temple, he drives out all the money changers. He said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Now, Saul of Tarsus knew that, and he knew that this outward temple made by hands was corrupt to the uttermost. The people were degraded. They were evil. They were murdering the Prince of Life. He knew these things in his heart, and as he sees these people who are the living temple of God, he sees something living, not made with hands, but he doesn't understand. Then he's responsible to kill this person, Stephen. And he sees in Stephen, what does he see? He sees Jesus. This man, Stephen, says, Lord, lay not this to their charge, just like Jesus did on the cross. And he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Paul was all the more enraged. And then on the way to Damascus, you know what happened. The heavens opened. There was a voice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Me? Who are you, Lord? Okay, he got twofold revelation. Jesus was raised from the dead, ascended, and at the right hand of the Father. And he's speaking to him because he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. What a revelation. And he testifies in Galatians, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, not only to me, but as he spent time, the Lord was revealed in him. And we can testify the Lord has been revealed in us. Then, what is this? I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these people, these misguided people. They are Jesus. And when I saw this, my whole life changed. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, there are many members in one body, and all the members being many are one body, so also is the Christ. We are the body of Christ. As we are living Christ in the new creation, people should see Christ in us, in our humanity, the way we live with our family, the way we treat our spouse, the way we do our work on the job. They should see Christ. If we're living Christ, they will see Christ. They may not understand, but the Lord will have the ground. This is what touched me. This is what I give my whole life to, amen, for this church life. I don't care about doing anything else. I just want this church life. I've been captured by this vision, and I give my whole life to this. Amen. And thank the Lord that I can be here to fellowship with you, dear saints, amen, who also see this vision. Amen. And thank you for letting me share this.
Can you sing 407?
407.
Thank you.
and soon will be the coming.
Amen.
Triumphant King.
Amen.
Yes, he's coming for the churches.
Amen.
Where his sweet praises ring.
Amen.
Lord, come reap the first fruits.
Yes.
Yes. Draws the harvest time.
Amen.
And to the throne you take us.
Yes.
To reign with thee on high.
Churches are the body of Christ on earth today.
Amen.
They are his testimony, that he may have obeyed. They are the golden lampstands.
Amen.
He is far and wide.
Yes.
They are his fighting army and his beloved bride.
Amen.
But Lord, stir our hearts for your desire.
Amen.
Build us, oh, build us, Lord. We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
The church is built up in one accord. This golden testimony will thus express the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we want to manifest this oneness.
Amen.
The world may know that we are one.
Amen.
That the world may know that you have been sent for us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father said, yes.
Amen.
Okay. So there was one word that Moses, when he was sharing, I thought was very summarizing word to describe everything that everyone has been sharing. And it's in 1B, and it says, not a place to go to have us on Sunday, but to take stand against Satan's kingdom, represent God's kingdom, to carry out his plan on earth. So the word that I was very much impressed with, especially in these last days and conferences, Mountain Valley, and both in July and December, is matter of the kingdom. Right? The church, yes, today we are the church. But I think, you know, as you listen to what Mo was sharing, for the effectiveness of the church, we have to have vision of what the church is.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that the church is the body of Christ,
yeah,
the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But this key word, kingdom,
mm-hmm,
this is key. Right? Can a kingdom, when you look at a kingdom, do you see division in the kingdom? Should you see a division in the kingdom? What happens to a kingdom if it's divided? It will fall. It cannot stand. Right? And the song we just sang, right? Who's our king?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so that means you have to have a king in the kingdom. Today, if we see the church as God's kingdom, do we see Jesus Christ as our king?
Amen.
Or do we only see him as our savior? What is the Lord to you? Tomorrow, our brother will share more concerning Jesus as our example. Are you spending the whole meeting talking about him as our savior? No. Actually, in Revelation, what you see is you see Jesus as our king. And even more, today we have to see Jesus as the heavenly great high priest. This is all part of the kingdom life. Then also, what else? The song talked about his fighting army. Peace through strength, right? Yeah, this phrase. If you don't have a strong army, you have no peace, right? So this is why in the church, and this point that Mo brought out, it's we're standing, we're not just standing against Satan's kingdom. There's a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on.
Yeah.
If we see today that the churches are the kingdom of God, then we should already recognize there's a battle going on. Warfare is going on. Right? And then another phrase in the song was, what? Reigning with Christ. Because what is the church, or what will we all become when the Lord comes back? What is the goal of your Christian life? A kingdom of priests. Who says that? Where does it say that? Revelation what? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Right? He did not just save us from our sins to be redeemed. He wants us to become kings and priests. And then to make the point, he repeats it in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. He redeemed us to be kings and priests. To do what? To reign with him. Right? On the earth. Not in heaven. On earth. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, we will reign with Christ for how many years? Firstly, the thousand-year millennial kingdom. For those who mature early today, we all have opportunity to receive the double portion of our inheritance, which is to reign with him for a thousand years in the millennial kingdom age. But then, once all of God's people are matured, Revelation 21, as Mo had his read at the beginning, it's this holy city, the New Jerusalem. And what are we going to do for eternity? Revelation 22, verse 5. Leo, what does it say? Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. What does it say?
He shall reign forever and ever.
Amen. Huh?
Amen.
Right? And they shall do what? Reign forever and ever. This is God's kingdom. Do we have vision of the church today as God's kingdom? Tim, can you rule over your room? Did you pass inspection from your parents? Right? Well, do you rule over your room? Yeah, you sure. Nana, does he rule over his room? He tries. And how long did it take for Tim to get to this point in renting his room? 20 years to reign over your room. Wow, okay. Now imagine this. The Lord tells you, Tim, you're going to reign over not just one, maybe two cities. Are you ready to do that?
Lagos.
Are you ready to reign over Lagos? No. And how long will it take you to get there? 2 more years? 20 more years. Right, so again, the point comes back to is this. Mo talks about transformation. Are you ready to reign when the Lord comes today? If the Lord were to come today, are we ready to rule and reign with him? We need transformation. Right? So if we have this word kingdom, right? It's not just an earthly kingdom, it's a heavenly kingdom. What did Jesus Christ preach in Matthew? The kingdom of heaven. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So it's about the kingdom. And if we want this testimony of oneness, then we better have vision for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? And that starts today. For us to be prepared for the Lord's coming, right? It's why is this, you know, it's most, I mean, the title says, Christ expressed on earth through the heavenly Jerusalem. When does this begin?
Now.
In the future or now?
Now.
Now. Now. It needs to begin now. That means the kingdom has to start now.
Yes.
For all of us. But we have to have this vision. If we don't see this vision of the kingdom, how can you have a testimony of oneness? If we have no vision for the kingdom, we won't even recognize Jesus as our king because he's only a savior to us. So consider this matter of the kingdom. You know, we like to use, when we look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we love verse 18. It says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But we forget verse 19. It says, and I will give you the keys of the church. Wait. Read that verse again. What does the verse say? I will give to you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the church, brothers and sisters. We overuse this word church. What does church mean? What does the word church mean?
Called out ones.
The called out ones. It's just a description. But who we are the kingdom of God. This is why I'm saying this word is a very important word. Consider this before the Lord. The kingdom. We have to have vision for the kingdom. If we see this vision of the kingdom that was brought out at the beginning, this will really govern our living and our preparation. And as we fellowship more for the next meeting, we're going to get to see Jesus as our King. And Jesus as our great high priest. Because if we are to become kings and priests, we better know our King as a King. But at the same time, to be priests, the holy priesthood, we better know the great high priest. So remember this word, kingdom, and what it means, because this is the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to read one, respond to that beautiful message. You're talking about the church, right? Talking about the church. Who are the church? Who is the church? Who is the head of the church?
Right.
Paul wrote in 1 Colossians chapter 1, talk about, he's the head of the body, the church. That explains everything. So without Jesus, without the head, the church cannot be functioned. That's a blessing time, all of us here together to fellowship. Why we are here to fellowship? Because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus brought us together.
Amen.
To share his good news. To share his love and care to every nation, every people, regardless of how you look like. The church is built through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to be inside the church. Not outside the church. When we are inside the church, we are in with Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul talks about. If any man, anyone who is in Christ, we become a new creation, right?
Amen.
It's nothing much to explain about it. New person, new human being, created by our Heavenly Father. New man. Human being. Who created human being? Right from Genesis with Genesis. It will tell everything. How he created with his own image. It's so beautiful the way how he created each and every one of us. For a purpose. A brother already told me, we are part of it. We are a part of it. You know. That's why John talks in chapter 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. We are the branches. Branches of who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In order to have fruit, we have to be with him all the time, day and night, pray without ceasing. All the time, like Paul talks about it. So I just want to thank you, everyone over here, to God first.
Amen.
And all of us, we can encourage each other. Wherever we go, we are here, like we're talking about, so that people will see the difference. This guy is different. These people are different. Because of our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul says, I can do all things. Through who?
Christ.
Amen.
Christ.
That's what we need
Amen.
To have. We need that taste every day. We need that food, that spiritual food every day, day
Amen.
And night. Like we eat morning, afternoon, lunch, breakfast. What about reading a little bit the Word of God? One chapter or even one verse. That will help. I used to say, you know, but exercise, one step is better than zero steps.
The Lord is so good.
Amen.
Okay, I want all of us to read together Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And then we can analyze ourselves. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And it says, Matthew chapter, I'm reading it from NIV, New International Bible. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, we talk about the kingdom and all that, the church and all that. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and testing it to all nations, and then the end will come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Sam.